We're going to get back into Galatians today. And we've been dealing with a portion where Paul's really talking about the application of the fruits of the Spirit in various aspects of our life towards one another, towards the weak brother, towards God's preacher. And the section particularly we were looking at the last several times we've been here was the aspect, the principle of reaping or sowing and reaping. And I'll read there beginning with verse 7, which is this section. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We sow and we reap. And we reap what we sow. Only we reap more than we sow. I mean, life tells us that. We look at the farmer. He plants a few seeds and gets a crop. Scripture talks about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. And Paul here tells us, if we sow to the flesh, we of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's all the work of God, what He brings forth in us, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, as we've spoken of before. It's something that comes from the Spirit, and it grows and brings forth to the glory of God. And as we consider these things and the application of the fruit of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, and our relations with one another, Paul continues on in something I think we all need to hear and have emphasized from time to time. I know I do. In verse 9, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We're called to well-doing. We're called to do well. And it can be a struggle. It can be a fight. God's sovereign. He's ordained. He's predestined. But we still have to fight. We still have to stand. That is part of His decree. We have the struggle. We're not to become weary. And it's easy to do that. And we won't become weary if we realize who we serve and from whence comes our strength and our power. It's the absolutely sovereign God. As that song I sang, Farther Along, you know, we'll understand then. We don't understand now. We look around and say, why is this happening? Why is this happening to folks that we consider to be good people? Well, there aren't any of those. But anyway, why has this happened to me? I deserve worse. But that's not our perspective. Now, we get weary in well-doing. We think, I deserve this stuff. I should have better. I should be treated better. I should get more. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Because we trust in an absolutely sovereign God that's working His will and His way. There's no reason or excuse for us to grow weary. There's no reason or excuse for us to go into sloth. You know, we've talked often about the prophet Jeremiah. He got tired. He got weary. And he quit. Well, he tried to. But God wouldn't let him. He said, God, I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. God said, yeah, I think you are. Jeremiah said, his word burned in me like a fire. We have no reason to lack in our faithfulness because he's always faithful. And we see this emphasized many times throughout the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Doing well. Doing right. We're supposed to be righteous. What's that mean? That means doing right. And by the grace of God, we have the example, and I may have covered some of this last time, I don't remember. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Christ knew what was lying ahead. He endured this. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's kind of where it starts. We start getting, thinking bad things and thinking, you know, I'll just take some time off. And I won't continue to struggle. I won't continue to... Don't grow weary in well-doing. Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It may appear like it. It may appear like you're not getting anywhere, that you're treading water. But we serve a sovereign God that has given promises to his people and is working his perfect will. So in spite of all, we know, Paul says, ye know that your labor is not in vain. We work. We don't work to be saved. God didn't save us because of our works, because of something we did, because of some decision we made. But God saved us unto works. God saved us that we would bring forth works and glorify him. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 10 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We're saved through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. But that faith through which we're saved isn't of us. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, the faith of Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by works, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Those that are his will manifest it by their lives. God's ordained that we should walk in them. These people that claim to have made some sort of profession, I walked an aisle, I prayed a prayer, you know, my ticket's punched. Paul says, listen, if you're his workmanship, he's ordained that we would bring forth good works. That's the telling to others, to ourselves. And again, it's God that even does that. I'm not telling you to try harder and make yourself, you know, to work harder. No, God gives us that as well. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God that with well-doing, it's the will of God. It's the will of God that with well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. for in due season. I often think of old Pastor R.G. Lee, payday someday. There's a due season. God's thinking happen. Things happen on God's time schedule. We reap and we sow on God's time schedule. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. For his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God has his own schedule. And it's not ours. Blessings come on God's schedule, not ours. But we can trust him. We reap and due season. We wait upon him. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee. The eyes of all wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. We receive the blessings. We receive the meat in due season, in God's season. Sometimes, by his grace in this world. Sometimes, perhaps not till the one to come. God will reward his people. He will give them their meat in due season. And as that song I sang reflected in the psalmist in Psalm 73, verse 12. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. You know, the psalmist got looking around. And like the songwriter wrote, you know, why do these people prosper? But these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Oh, you look around. You wouldn't want to trade places with those folks. You say, well, they got it all. They got all these fancy cars. They got all this wealth. They got all these houses. And as I often say, and then you die. And then what? And then you die. And God balances the books. And God settles the accounts. And God give us his meat in due season. And the psalmist said, you know, I looked around in the prosperity of the wicked. And it almost drove me to despair. I got weary in well-doing. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. With the Lord's people, with the Lord's word. Then understood I their end. I know where they're heading. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? In a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. You know, those that die without Christ. I don't know. I haven't really researched it. I mean, I've read some things. I saw some allusions. Folks talked about when Anthony LaVey, who was the Satanist, headed the Church of Satan. And when he died, he just screamed in terror and said, something's terribly wrong. And yeah, That's the fate of the wicked. In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. So we're not to be weary in well-doing. We need to keep the eternal perspective. You know, where we're heading, who we belong to. Not growing weary in well-doing. James wrote in James 5 and verse 7, pastor of the church at Ephesus, half-brother of the Lord, wrote the epistle of James. James 5, 7. And he was amongst the Lord's brethren that didn't believe on him during his life. The Lord saved him later. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And I got to thinking on some things I don't want to get ahead of. I just jotted down a few notes for I look at next week. The Lord told us to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He says, when you see these things starting to take place. And I go back again in of recent weeks and the things that are going on, more and more my mind turns to, you know, Ezekiel 38 and 39 and what's coming. And I don't know how people can deny this. I don't know how people can reject this and say, well, it doesn't mean anything. It's not, has nothing. God even speaks of this, the nations that are going to invade Israel. And I see it happening. Just recently, the president of Turkey said he was possibly going to invade Israel. Well, you read it there in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you'll see that. Russia. Now, I got friends in Russia. It bothers me. It hurts me. I hope that they'll be awakened and you know, not deceived. But Russia, Turkey, several of the Middle Eastern nations, Iran, and these people that are in the news, they're all going to converge upon Israel. And how can you read that in Scripture and not see that this stuff's taking place today? Sometimes I just think, why would they do that? Well, they hate Israel. They hate God's people, but they also, Israel's not a perfect nation right now. You know, God uses that and whatever. You look at some of the things going on there and you say, well, I kind of understand why they maybe don't like them. But you better read the Scriptures and you better believe what God says and what He's going to bring forth. God's going to fulfill all His promises. And I got a stray there a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. I just wanted to mention some things and set things in perspective because I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, but the Lord said, when you see these things happening, and I see them happening, He said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then you got all the different eschatological views, and some of them say, well, this can't happen till the tribulation, and the church is going to all be gone then. I'm not so sure about that. I'm sure what God says happened is going to happen, and I see it coming about right now. And I think we're going to see a lot of it. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. But we have an eternal perspective. We come to the sanctuary of God. And things are set in order. Then we understand their end. Yeah, James, I got off on there. James says in James 5 and verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He's coming. He's coming. He's bringing His reward with Him. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And have long patience for it. Now the farmer sows. He knows he's not going to reap immediately. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. God does. He can't make it rain. Oh, we can have artificial irrigation today.
But the Lord can put an end to that too. You know, the farmers plant, you trust God to bring rain. And there's very limited to what you can do with artificial irrigation anyway. Unless God intervenes and brings forth the rain. Until he receive the early and latter rain. Wait on God. Trust God. I mean, I read all this junk going on in the world today, and I make comment on it and share it with folks over the internet and stuff, and a lot of folks think I'm whacked. That's okay. But I look at what's going on, and it's just incomprehensible. I can't understand it. It's almost unbelievable, but there it is. I can't explain it, but I know this. More and more, I just end with the phrase, trust God. Trust God. Men, thank their women. Women, thank their men. Corruption at the highest levels of our government. Things just seem all awry. The most wicked of people are being raised to the most prominent positions. You're going to see more of that probably in November. Probably regardless of what happens. But most wicked of people, trust God. Trust God. Don't grow weary in well doing. For we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. That's God's sustaining grace. You can't do it on your own, but God's people persevere because they're preserved. His people will persevere if we faint not. God's sustaining grace. Without God's sustaining grace, if he removed his hand, he'd be over just like that. For us and everything else. God's sustaining grace if we faint not. But listen here, it's also our responsibility and our faithfulness that are called for. We have to struggle. God's ordained that. That's part of God's divine plan. I can't unfold it all. I can't explain it all. But I want to tell you this. You are accountable. You are responsible. You say, well, I trust God and I won't do it. No. You got to do. You're not to grow weary in well-doing. And we reap if we faint not. How do we even know that we know him? Where's the assurance that we're his? Well, the Apostle John talks about it a lot in his first epistle, 1 John 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. Here's how we know that we know him. Because we repeated a prayer after somebody, because we walked in. No! Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Those that are his desire. We don't do it perfectly, and it's all by God's grace that we do it. But if there's no evidence there, if there's no keeping of his commandments, there's no assurance for you or for others about you. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him. A lot of folks do that, you know. You've talked about, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I got saved. I made a decision. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, well, that's kind of hard. I don't think I believe that yet, because, you know, we're just saved by our decision. And so, well, I think John knows about it. God inspired him to write those things. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, a lot of Christians today just live like the devil. Absolutely live. Live just like the world. Saw a preacher this week that said, you know, there's a philosophy of thought going around that we can love the world and we can love Christ. He said, it's a lie. In fact, the Lord specifically said that. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Those who manifest and keep the word of God, God's word is there perfected, completed. Hereby know we that we are in him. Hereby know we that we... That's not how we get in him. By keeping his commandments. Because we can't. But how do we know that we're in him? Because we keep his commandments. Hereby know we that we are in him. It's not how we got in him. But here we know. It's manifested in our lives. To ourselves and to others. It's manifested. It's made known that we are in him. Because we desire and seek to keep his commandments, and by his grace, however imperfectly, we do that. Psalmist says in Psalm 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Don't grow weary in well doing. Say, it's hard. Yeah, it is. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God blesses his word. God blesses when we keep his commandments, when we do what he tells us to do, when we grow not weary in well-doing. He that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. That's God's way. That's God's plan. Wasn't my plan. I would have done it some other way. It would have been terrible. And it wouldn't have worked. God's way is the best way. Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. They're the young folks. You know, sometimes I'm out, even just not as strenuous a sport as some, but if I go out my rifle and pistol matches, those young people, I mean, they don't matter how inexperienced they are, it isn't very long, they're just beating me terribly, because we call them the youths, because they're young. Their stamina, their strength astounds us old people. But Isaiah said, look here, even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. What hope is there for us old guys? Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God sustains. God gives grace. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. I think Heather got me this thing in China. And that's what it says up there. It's that verse. I suppose I can't read Chinese, so I don't know. But Heather told me it does, and she can read Chinese, and she can. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on God. Don't grow weary in well-doing. God will provide. And then in Luke, during the Lord's earthly ministry, in Luke 18 and verse 1, he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." Brother Howell refers to this a lot too. Not necessarily this specific verse. There's a lot of them that refer to this. But, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." How do you keep from fainting? You pray. You trust in God. You appeal to the sovereign of the universe. "Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Grow not weary in well doing." And it can only be done by the grace of God. You can't do it. I can't do it. But by His grace, we faint not. And may God keep us faithful. May He keep us from faltering. May He keep us from growing weary. May He keep us going. And believe me, I'm saying this to me more than all you. I need to hear this. Keep going. As Stonewall said, "Press on, men. Press on." And such an age that we live in, that we press on. We'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. "189, Saved by Grace." Number 189. If you like, you can stand. We'll sing this out. Father, we thank you for your eternal love for our Savior. Lord, for this, your church, and for all that are gathered here today. For our friend Reagan, as he's away from us and be traveling. Father, we tend to grow weary in well-doing. We tend to faint because we get our eyes off of thee. Lord, we know that you'll bring forth meat in due season. Lord, help us to keep that eternal perspective. Lord, by your grace, keep us from wavering. Keep us from fainting. Keep us from growing weary. Lord, by your grace, may we press on. Father, it can't be that much longer now. Father, keep your people faithful. Keep your churches true. Thank you for eternal and everlasting love. Thank you for the all-sufficient atonement of our Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.